Tonight on the Mac, God, I can't speak. On the Mac to the Future livecast, go! Production begins on the new Mac Pro, and flowery descriptions or depictions are sure to follow. How many betas does one OS need so soon after its release? Quite a few, apparently. And if you don't like the morning show, then you hate Steve Jobs. Tonight, all that and more on the Mac to the Future livecast. Go. Go. And hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another exciting, if not slightly late, Mac to the Future livecast. Go. I am one of your hosts, Guy Searle, and you can see all that information down there in the bottom of the screen because it is a special thing that I have there. And I am joined by two different people, and I'm willing to bet that those of you who are now currently watching know exactly who those people are, and that's one of them right there. Mr. Sklar, how are you, sir?
Hey, good morning.
Actually, I guess good I got to change this now since you have ways of actually contacting you. Or are you saving that?
No, sadly, nobody has contacted me yet. So go ahead and put him up and
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, boy. Could be bad. Got to warn you.
I am getting lonely, so, you know.
Okay. All right.
Do your worst internet.
The other person that we have on is a man with a plan and a new toy, Mr. David Ginsberg. Hello, sir.
How you doing? Good to be here.
It's so good to hear your voice and not my own echoed back to me.
Yes. Figured it out.
Yeah. So, we got a couple things going on here we're going to talk about tonight. But first off, let's talk about your new toy.
Oh, Dave? You mean this? Oh, you mean this?
Yeah. I'm not at all jealous. I'm not. I didn't even want a Rodecaster Pro.
I don't know what that is. It's
pretty impressive, I must admit.
It is.
I'm still learning it, and as we just figured out when I was trying to get it working here, which you would hear me my echo back, so a lot of amazing things. It makes life very easy when it comes to production, the podcast.
Yeah, it does.
I did record a show with Mike Potter on Saturday when I went over and visited him in Woodstock and tried it out for the first time. And
you took it with you?
Yeah, I brought it up with me. And
so you were there in his studio,
in his palatial studio in the Woodstock Square.
That is actually I love his studio. That he's got the desk set up. He's got the green screen set up. I really wish that he would do more with it because he's got like all the toys.
He's already offered, so I'm going to take him up on it. And we're going to do some video production.
Excellent. You could do like some really really cool, like product demos and stuff like that there, because he's got the whole setup there. It's a gorgeous studio, and but you're enjoying the Rodecaster. I know that the very first time that you and I really saw one, it had kind of a less than auspicious beginning. Dave Hamilton had one that he'd been given as a review unit, and he had some problems with it. I don't think he wasn't able to use that on the podcast that he did.
No, he
or did he get it working?
He got it working, but he just wasn't happy with this, because he's a little more particular with the sound than I am. He said there's some gain, some issues he wasn't happy with. Some people were giving feedback about it. So he just kind of put it on the shelf. So I don't know where he's leaving it. He never heard back from Rode. So
Well, he must have sent the unit back then, because I don't think he actually bought it.
No, it was a review unit.
Yeah, Yeah.
He still has it.
Okay. Oh, he still does. Okay. All right.
But I mean, it works with your iPhone. I got my iPhone synced to Bluetooth. I can play any sounds. I can bring someone in. I can have a phone conversation with somebody on the phone through the Rodecaster or record it onto the podcast.
Right.
As you were hearing a couple of sounds I was playing, you actually hear a few as I can push the button. So.
And you can customize those as well. You can, yes. I mean, you can program each. There's what, 8 buttons?
There's 8 buttons, but there's 3 banks that you can program it to different sounds.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you can put in your like opening theme and closing theme and,
that's what
and
already, yeah.
incidental music and all kinds of stuff. Yep. I mean, that's like it's awesome. I got a tweet from who was it? Not Tom Schmidt, not Peter Cohen, Elliot 777. I'd have to go and look to see who that was. But he was telling me that if I crave the Rodecaster Pro to take a look at the Zoom LiveTrack L8, which has a lot of similar features to it. Mm-hmm. And I put in an email to Zoom to see if I could get a review unit. But I mean, who knows? It's been so long since I've done reviews. Nobody really knows who I am anymore. As far as it's, you know, it's connected to mymac.com. Now, on speaking of your Rodecaster Mixin podcasts, you actually, there's an update with In Touch with iOS that concerns both of you.
Yes, we did announce it last week. But,
did we?
Yeah.
Warren is now our official co-host. Contrary to people who were concerned when they saw an episode get released out on Tuesday, I made sure I put on top. No, Warren's still the co-host. I just happened to have a great opportunity to hang out with Mike, so I thought it'd be fun to do that. So, which I'll do from time to time, and we're gonna bring guests on too. So I'm reaching out to a few people, and so it's, you know, it's a lot of times it'll be just Warren and I, and then other times, you know, we could have a third person as a guest. So, but I'm real super stoked about it, and I think I know Warren is too. So.
Or times without me, like I was like next week, because I will be in the West Coast.
Oh, what's on the West Coast?
We're going to Seattle for a few days. Just for
I'm
fun.
Sorry.
you mean sorry? I've never been there, and I want to go there.
Okay.
I'm going to visit
Microsoft campus. I'm going to visit Starbucks. And then we're going to go to...
because where else can you go to Starbucks, you know, except in Seattle? Yeah. Make sure
you watch them toss in the...
Fisherman's Wharf. Not Fisherman's Wharf. what do they call it?
The market. Some kind of market street or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That's actually really cool. That whole little area right there is very cool.
I've never been there. We're going to go to...
Awesome.
I'm going to go to the first Starbucks, and then I'm going to go to all the other Starbucks. And maybe
you'll be drinking a lot of coffee because they're like on every corner, every corner.
And then we're going to Portland Chicago because they have the world's largest Starbucks now.
Did they? I'll have to get to Chicago next week because my team is playing your team and it's going to be a suck bowl. But here you go.
It's going to be a suck bowl between both teams.
Well, the only thing that would make it worse would be if either one of them was playing the Dolphins.
Not really.
I think all three of our teams just like totally blow this year.
Yeah, that's bad. So
the Ravens are doing well.
There you go.
Yeah. So hooray, Ravens!
I like them. Yeah. Thanks, Sky. We appreciate it, we're gonna have a lot of fun. So I mean, it's
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. The last quick take before we get to the two main stories. I was reading online. I guess there's a lot of critical blowback toward the morning show. There's a lot of people that critics that don't like it. Whereas, it, almost in inverse of that, the regular people who review stuff really seem to like the show. I'm personally not a big fan myself. I'm going to continue to watch. For this entire season, so you know, I'm going to at least give it the chance that I gave Star Trek Discovery, but so far, you know, it's really not doing it for me.
No, it's all right. I'm caught up.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, The last episode.
Were they in the car? Where Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston are in the car talking?
Yeah, that's
was the last episode. Yeah.
Yeah, but the funniest part of the whole thing is how the security guard let in the building. The only person in the world he shouldn't be letting into that building, he let into that building.
Right, that was kind of off the wall.
Like that, just what the? I mean, that was.
Yeah, I'm not sure how if they're going to be able to continue the level of outrage that they're trying for with this show, but we'll see. But what they're saying, the producers and some of the other people involved with the show are saying that obviously the reason why people don't like the morning show is because they are Apple haters.
Probably something.
Apple haters.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, there are a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm watching that and I'm watching the For All Mankind. Those are the two things we're watching.
Well, I'm enjoying that show. The other show I'm really enjoying is on Disney Plus, and that's The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Mandalorian has been, and there's only been two episodes out so far. We don't want to give any spoilers in case, you know, people who want to see it haven't seen it. Started strong in the first episode, and the second episode was just even better. I mean, and you know, the thing I like about The Mandalorian as compared to a lot of the other streaming shows, you know, The Morning Show and for that matter, For All Mankind as well, is that they don't seem to have an agenda. It's not about, you know, trying to hammer some message home. It's about telling a story and telling a good story. And so far, I think that the two episodes I've got so far has been, I've really, really liked. It's been great.
Yeah, no, that's a good show.
And I finally got to see Frozen. So, you know, there's that.
Did you let it go?
I actually enjoyed it. I really, really liked Frozen. I did not think I was going to.
Now you have to see let the it go. The second one.
Yep. Well, I don't know about that. Maybe when it comes on Disney Plus.
Does Dave have a button that will sing Let It Go?
Probably, if he programmed it. But I liked it. I actually really, really did. And I'm finding that most of
Twilight Zone. That's Let It Go into Twilight Zone. Is what it is.
Most of the streaming shows that I've been watching has been from Disney Plus. And oddly enough, I haven't been watching that much Netflix lately.
We just started something.
Got to be starting something. I'll get a music strike if I'm not careful.
The Queen, The Crown, The Crown.
The Crown, yeah, season 3.
Oh, the kind of real-ish autobiography of Queen Elizabeth?
Well, sort of. Yeah, it's very far from real-ish, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. These all are.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's a good one, too, on Netflix. And then Amazon has some stuff.
I've been watching Star Trek Next Gen.
Yeah.
Again. Going back. And it's been so long since I've watched it. It's like, ooh, I barely remember this episode. So it's like all still new again.
I'm surprised Chuck hasn't asked you to come on Trek Favorites. You're going to come up with
it. Well, we have a fundamental disagreement about Star Trek Discovery. So I don't think he would ever have me on that show. I'm still. Yeah, that's true. All right, let's.
It was so temperamental, that conversation.
There are people that really, really, really like Star Trek Discovery. I'm not one of them. I'm not a fan. I am not a fan of Star Trek Discovery. I keep watching it. I've watched the entire first season. I've watched the entire second season, and it's just, you know, it's not doing it for me. But you know, it doesn't have to. You know, there's enough people that like it, I guess. Anyway, let's move on to the main stories before we lose anybody. They just, I'm out of here. All right.
We're down to three, and guess what? There's only three of us here.
I know.
I think it's actually just us right now, but let's go.
Oh, is everybody left?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Marcus, so they can watch it later.
Okay. Apple is expanding their presence in Austin. This was actually a story from Apple.com. Apple breaks ground on a new Apple campus in Austin, Texas, which is where the new Mac Pro is scheduled to be built. The facility will house up to 15,000 employees in a variety of roles related to manufacturing. By the time it's completed, around 2022, Apple is claiming that they will be expanding their manufacturing presence in various areas around the country. And even with all of the political BS going on, President Trump visited the manufacturing facility for the new Mac Pro. I guess that was, what, today or yesterday? And I don't know. The relationship, I don't really understand the relationship between President Trump and Tim Cook. I think Tim Cook is mostly like, look, I just want to get through this. We want to keep the company going. We don't want to piss anybody off. Let's just roll. So,
of course, and that's what he's doing. And you know, and Donald Trump does, to his credit, want more jobs in America, and having things built here, especially with what's going on overseas, is not a terrible idea. So,
yeah. Obviously. With all the turmoil going on in certain other countries, you know, I don't want to turn this into politics again. It is to your own benefit if you can continue to manufacture in your own country. It's not always about cost. A lot of times it can be about stability and control of your own product line.
Right.
So besides what's going on in Austin, the story mentioned that Apple is in the process of creating other areas of manufacturing in the country. I'm not really sure what else that Apple makes that they could build here. What do you guys think? Dave?
Yeah, I don't think there is really anything else. One thing I also note is all these Mac Pros that get built in at Austin, they're only going to ship in the Americas. So Canada, Mexico, United States. They're not going to ship these machines anywhere else because of the tariffs in China. So they're going to have to look at other options as far as building these machines in other countries.
Well, what about Europe? Or is that one of the places where they're going to make them build it there?
That's what I had read, that they're going to limit it to the Americas, and we'll see what happens. As far as anything else that's going to get built there, I don't think we have the United States. I mean, the skilled workers just can't compete with the folks that are building the iPhones and other types of other devices in China and other countries. So I just don't see
the economy of scale
investing in any other products just because of that. Mac Pros are not that challenging to build, I wouldn't think. Just like any computer, for that matter. I mean, Dell makes a lot of their computers here, some of them. I just don't see it. Any other products that I could think of would do here.
Okay, what about you, Warren?
iPod socks.
Well, what about HomePods? Do you think that they could build HomePods here?
I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't opened one up. Like Dave was saying, it's hundreds of tiny parts and tiny little things is the problem. So,
a lot of that is automated though, isn't it?
I don't know. You read the stories about Foxconn about like assembly lines of people putting like chips and stuff. So who knows? I mean, I don't know what it looks like in there, but I know people are jumping off the roof. So it's not pretty. It's not that automated.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Someone's jumping off a roof.
But you know, the bigger things are. I had to put a net on, but I think they kind of fixed that. The bigger things are less parts. Easier to work with, automating things. That's what we're looking at. That's why we're good at building cars, because they got big parts.
Yeah, it is a big part. Yeah.
Yeah. So and, I mean,
And it's more assembly than anything else, because all the parts are made out in a bunch of other places.
Sure.
And probably, and with this, you know, it's going to be the same thing with the Mac Pro. Right. I'm sure, except for perhaps the chassis, most of the major components that make up the computer are probably still made in, you know, China, oh, Japan, sure. Korea, so on and so forth.
Right. I mean,
and it, shipped it's here.
There's a difference between made in and assembled in, I think, is, a,
yeah.
is what the problem is. So I don't know.
But it still equals jobs.
So, sure. I mean, unless they automate everything, which I guess it doesn't. But yeah, I mean, it's a step in the right direction. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. I think jobs are good here. And I think, you know, maybe it'll figure out ways to get more products here. You know, maybe they'll come out with the VR glasses will not be made here. They are tiny little things.
Well, that's assuming that Apple even makes anything like that.
Yeah, they'll make something. It will come eventually.
One thing that might help is now that Johnny Ives is no longer with Apple, the push to have, you know, thin is in is no longer really... It's no longer a thing. It's no longer really necessary. So if you want to make a product slightly larger to accommodate different types of parts, then there's no longer an ethos that's keeping you from doing that with now that Johnny Ives is gone.
Yeah, to an extent, but not enough to change the actual composition of the device. They're not going to make laptops big enough where you're going to be able to put video cards in there yourself and stuff like
that. Oh, God, no. No.
Yeah.
No. All right. Last story for the evening. A beta is better. This is from Mac Rumors. 3 weeks after the initial release of Mac OS Catalina, or 10.15, there's already been at least one significant update and two betas for the 64-bit only operating system. The latest beta will likely focus on performance improvements, security updates, and fixes for bugs that weren't there originally to be addressed in the 10.15.1 update or in the previous beta from just last week. Now, I mean, this has only been out for 3 weeks, and there's already been one big update and two betas. I mean,
or Catalina?
Yeah.
Catalina's been out for more than 3 weeks.
Three weeks. Well,
that's
okay.
Be more than that.
All right, so 4 weeks. I mean, this is like, I mean, what's going on here? I mean, I cannot recall a time, and I've been using Macs for a very, very long time. Since they started with OS X, that there's been such a buggy release of an operating system from Apple. I mean, not since the System 7, System 8, System 9 days. So
October 7th.
Yeah. So it's been a month and 3 weeks, but go ahead.
Okay. Whatever.
But it's not as buggy as Catalina is not as buggy as iOS is. So it's actually pretty stable, to be honest with you. And there's very few problems that even I'm seeing now. And I've been on a couple of betas. I put the new beta on today. But it's not that bad. It's iOS is different, but Catalina is pretty stable for me.
Well, do you think a big part of the problem has been this push to have a release every single year of a major update, he says with quotes? Or do you think that having a yearly release is necessary to push the hardware?
I think they could call it the same product without even changing the name and still add features, and it wouldn't matter. They're going to want to add features every time they can to be competitive and to sell hardware. You know, Windows 10 doesn't change the name of Windows 10, but they come up, you know, three times a year, they come up with these cumulative updates that add features and things like that. So it's just a name. I mean, the naming is just a thing. I mean, they could I think they actually talked about it, just not even, you know, just calling it a Mac OS and not even giving them point names anymore and just adding features. So, I mean, what are we saying? Do we want them not to add features?
No, I'm saying, is it necessary? And it's a marketing thing. I don't think it's really a push from the software engineers that work for Apple to say, well, we need to have this major release put out to support hardware that we're getting ready to release. I don't see that as a thing. I see it more along the lines of, you know, we're getting ready to put out a new phone, or we're getting ready to put out a new computer. And the best way to differentiate this computer or this product from the product that came before it is to say, well, you know, we're gonna give you, even though it's free, the latest version of the operating system, and it's got all these great new features, and you can tell it's new because it has a different name. You know, I mean, it seems more like marketing speak than anything else.
Sure, but the reality is they're not changing that much, just adding some things. You know, I have a theory that what they're doing is actually, when the beta cycle comes out and they release a new operating system, I kind of think they make it as buggy as possible in the beginning, because it shows, I mean, they're literally only adding a couple things from Mojave to Catalina, you know, a few things here and there.
Well, I mean, the big thing is going from 32 to 64 bit. I mean, that was huge.
That was already built into Mojave. They just didn't turn it on. It warned you that it wasn't going to run, so it knew which was 32 and what 64.
Right.
So, I mean, it was just a switch at that point to say we're not going to run it. So, but you know, when they announce it, and after WWDC, and you install the new operating system on a phone or your computer, you start to say to yourself, oh my God, has Apple forgotten how to like program anything on this computer? Because everything is buggy. Like, they forgot how to do mail. And that's a big issue now that everybody's having is mail. But they mess up iCloud. I mean, things that they've been doing for years and years and years,
right,
that hasn't really changed that much in the new release. It's like they're back to beginning, and then it's like a game. And by the time you get up to release, it's all good. Everything's good. Oh, this
except it hasn't been. And what would be the point of releasing an operating system knowing that it has all these bugs, other than the fact that you've said we're going to release this operating system on such and such a day?
It's a deadline.
I mean, what's the point of doing that? I mean, you're not getting any positive press or positive feedback from your users by putting out buggy software.
It's features, and again, with the new phone that had the new feature of the deep fusion with the new phones, that sells phones. There's people out there that's going to go out and say, I am buying a new phone because I want this deep fusion, and Apple's like, oh crap, we got to get that deep fusion thing to, you know, work, so people can justify what they bought. You know, the word gets around that Sidecar is a great thing, and it might sell iPads and more Macs. Oh crap, we have to get Catalina up and running. I don't care that there's a few things that not working. That you know, it's being an operating system being stagnant is not going to sell more things. New features do, and that's what everybody's looking for. New features,
right?
Everybody wants new features.
But new features might sell you some computers or phones, but if the rest of the software, or a large portion of the software that people rely on every single day, isn't working, then, you know, you start to alienate the same people that came for those other features. They're not going to care so much about the fact that they can connect up their iPad to their computer for a separate screen if they can't get their mail.
As you said, we're three weeks out, so people are going to bitch for a little bit. Apple will finally get it. After about a month, people won't even remember that these bugs existed. And, you know, they're going to enjoy their, you know, brand new 2016, 16-inch, I mean, MacBook Pro.
So what are you saying?
No, I'm saying it worked on
me. Of the three of us that don't have a 16-inch.
I don't have a Rodecaster.
2019.
Yeah. Well, I have a 16-inch. Can I just say one thing about it?
Sure.
The CPU fan has not gone off once, even on this.
And that's is that a 6-core or 8-core?
I got the 6-core. I got the base.
Okay. But
it's beautiful, and the screen is nice.
Still cranking.
Yeah, my fan's not going at all. Yeah, it's great.
And my iMac is pretty quiet.
It's got double the storage as before, which I'm happy with. And the best part is I discovered that I needed reading glasses. That's why I have these glasses on. About a week ago, maybe a little bit more.
Okay.
So, can I just say all my screens look incredible. My iPad looks great. My MacBook looks, I mean, it's almost like I doubled the size of the monitor.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm wearing
it's like, the man, my computers look like crap. Oh, hold on a second. Wait. Hold on. Wipe. Oh my God, they're fantastic.
In fact, I'm going to Amazon and see if they have the 5X lenses. These are like 2. I'm going to get.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I wear is the 2X. Is like big,
yeah, all you can see is big pupils, right? And like I'm
like Akita.
It's going to be like an IMAX theater in front of my face.
Anybody gets that reference,
who?
Akita.
Look
it up. It's a fighting robot movie. I haven't seen it, but saw Angel pictures of it. Yeah, Battle Angel. Yeah. All right.
So the beta, anyways, people, you know, the story is back up your old operating system. Catalina's not bad, but
I haven't gone to it yet.
As an IT guy, I'm still hesitant on telling people to do it because they're going to have that 132-bit program that they're going to call me back and say, hey, my thing doesn't work. And I'm going to go, oh, crap.
Is that the way they sound when they say it?
They all sound like that.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They all sound that way.
Just check it.
IT guys.
Yeah.
I can't get this to work.
my solitaire game.
Most of my problems are related to games. So none of my Steam games work, will work, and a couple of other and mostly minor stuff isn't going to work under Catalina. So I haven't switched yet.
Oh, so my brand new machine, the bootcamp drivers came out yesterday, and today with the new beta, they allowed me to install the new beta on it. It's all running great. And anyways, with games bootcamp, you know, there's a lot of games that will run in bootcamp. In fact,
you have like a minor install of Windows on there, pared down.
It's a bootcamp partition. It's a whole partition.
Yeah,
it's a full version.
Okay, and then you just use it for games.
No, I use it for work. People who I have a few programs that only work in Windows, IT programs, and just to keep up with it.
I do with
Parallels. Maybe David know, but this thing has that new graphic card in there. I'm just wondering how it's going to play games with that. So I got to try that. Right. It's got I don't play games, but it's got a something. I don't know.
Good old A something.
Minecraft. I'll play Miss Pac-Man.
Okay. Well, I think that is, unless either one of you have something else, I think that's it for tonight's show. Anything? Nope. All right, Dave. If people wanted to find out about some of the stuff that you do, how would they do it?
They would do it by going to intouchwithios.com and listening to me and to Warren Sklar, my co-host, and listen to all the great things that I talk about out there. Yes, please go listen, and you can reach me on Twitter at DaveG65.
Warren.
Oh, no, I'm back. Sorry. W's Floor. Pretty much anything you could think of, Twitter, emails, Gmails, Hotmails, Dogmails.
Dogmails?
Yeah, I don't know. I ran out of mails. Okay. W's Floor. And then I'm on Facebook. I did a Mac to the Future. I moderate that thing. And then I, as Dave said, I'm very excited to do the In Touch with iOS thing. And maybe one day I'll actually get a real setup like you guys with your fancy Rodecasters. And
well, I mean, you're halfway there. You just need a different microphone. $40 yeah, microphone in your set.
This maybe. One was free. They sent it to me for free. I love it.
Whoops, that was not
he
what I meant to do.
He buys a 16-inch MacBook Pro.
Yeah. I won't buy the microphone.
But yeah, but he won't buy a $40 microphone. Okay. No. We got it. We got it. Priorities. If you'd like to help with some of the stuff that I do, you can go to patreon.com/MacParrot, ko-fi.com/MacParrot, and also... Yeah, paypal.me/MacParrot. All ways that you can send me money to do the things that I do. Besides this wonderful program that I'm doing right here, I also do the MyMac.com podcast almost every single week with Gazmaz. We are coming up on our 500th show. We have a bumper contest going on. You could win a $25. It's not iTunes anymore. I guess just an Apple gift card. For sending in a bumper and insulting Gaz and myself. Listen in at the MyMac.com podcast for more information. If you'd like to send me email, that would be guy@MyMac.com. I have two, not one, but two Twitter accounts. One is, of course, MacParrot, and the other one is Vert Shark. So, where's the button? You got me all flustered. I couldn't find the button. That is going to do it for this week. Thanks to you. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Warren, for coming on this week. And I guess that's going to about do it. And we will catch you all next week. You guys good for next week?
Oh, no. I'm in the West Coast.
Oh, that's right. You're in. Oh, you're on.
I won't be either. I'm hanging out with Barry Folk.
Oh, well, you and Barry can come on.
He's Friendsgiving.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's maybe that time of year. Okay.
Take a week off.
Yeah, that's fine. All right.
Take a week off.
Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we will. But regardless, at some point or another, we will be back. I actually have a Guy's Daily Drive that I need to edit, and that will be up over the next couple of days. And in the meantime... if we're not on, I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Please be careful if you're driving out of town or even in town. A lot of crazy people out there. And we will all catch you next time right here on the Mac. To the future. Go. Bye-bye.
See ya.